Be in your Bibles, please, for our second scripture reading to 1 Kings chapter 16. First Kings chapter 16, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, Forasmuch as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam, and hast made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Elah, his son, reigned in his stead. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass, when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha. He left not one that pisseth against the wall, neither of his kinsfolks nor of his friends. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned and by which they made Israel to sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired, and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri, the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. And Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died, for his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginat, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginat. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel 12 years. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill of Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver, and built on the hill, and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria, But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So as an overview of the chapter, first of all, there's one theme that runs through the whole, even though there are other things that are particulars. The thing that runs through the whole is this, that Israel, in turning away from the true God and worshiping the calves that Jeroboam had set up, and as we found out last week, worshiping another god, in other words, even though you say you're worshiping the true God and using golden calves to do it, you're not worshiping the true God, you're worshiping a false god. And in that during the days of Ahab, he married Jezebel. You hear the word Bel, the syllable Bel in her name. That's from Baal. Her father's name was Ethbaal, which means the master or the master of masters. That's what the word Baal means, lord or master. Jezebel would mean one who applies to or hears Baal. And Ahab married her, built an altar and a house of Baal in Samaria. And so what we have is, during this whole chapter, over and over again it comes up, there's only one king in Judah worshiping the true God, good King Asa. And although Asa had his difficulties, one of his difficulties was not idolatry. One king. But in Israel, what's going on in the northern kingdom, king after king after king, violent upheaval after violent upheaval after violent upheaval. Violent upheavals are signs of a society out of order that does not worship the true God. And so that's the first comment over the whole chapter. And it becomes very obvious. We have this accession to the throne by assassination. Well, that means you're going to get the most violent and bloodthirsty men as your monarchs. And violent and bloodthirsty men do not make good monarchs, beloved. They make wonderful tyrants, but not good monarchs. Okay, so let's go ahead and dive into some of the details. First of all, get to the right set of notes here. First of all, we have this man, king in the northern kingdom, Baasha. And there is a man that is raised up by the Lord as a prophet. His name is Jehu. Jehu, you know, we have this old phrase, I'm not the prophet nor the son of a prophet. Jehu's a prophet and the son of a prophet. Right? Hanani is his father. Hanani has been in the southern kingdom, and he has rebuked Ahab for making a deal with the Syrians rather than relying upon the Lord God. Asa didn't like that much, and so what did he do? He threw him in prison. So it's not all good with regard to Asa in the southern kingdom. But in the northern kingdom, Hanani's son is raised up, and he lets Baasha know that his house will go no farther. So this is the same Jehu that confronted Jehoshaphat after his unlawful conspiracy with Ahab. He is not the Jehu that is a military official who became king later in the northern kingdom. That's a different Jehu. Okay, Jehu also had what's called the Book of Jehu. You can find this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, long about verse 34. And it says that the Book of Jehu is in the Book of the Kings of the Kings of Israel. It may be that what we're reading here is a remnant out of that book that the final editor, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, brought Jehu's book in and made it a part of what we read here as 1 Kings. That's quite possible. So it's possible that Jehu was not just a writing prophet having his own book by that name, but also that his book was folded into what we call inspired scripture today. Okay, so Elah, the son of Baasha, was drunk. He was killed by Zimri. We see this over and over again, this kind of profligacy and indulgence. Remember that violence, the killing of your predecessor, drunkenness, these are all forms of indulgence. You indulge your pride, you indulge your anger, you indulge your unnatural lust, all of those things. This is why in Scripture over and again we are told that kings must not reign in this way. Lemuel will say, it is not for kings to drink wine. Why? When kings get drunk, they do bad things to their subjects. Indulgence is not a good thing for a king. But these men are very indulgent. They're indulgent in their anger. They're indulgent in their drink. They're indulgent in all kinds of ways. So we see the promotion by assassination according to the word of the Lord to cut off the house of Baasha. And remember that their primary sin is idolatry. The Lord doesn't say he took them away for their drunkenness, for their violence. The Lord says he took them away because they followed the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin by making two golden calves and changing the worship of God. The Lord is still concerned about his worship today, beloved. All right, so we come to the second section in verse 15. And so now we have, notice that we're in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and now we have this man named Zimri who killed Elah. Elah reigned 2 years. Zimri, a whopping 7 days. 7 days. Now, let's make sure we understand Zimri right, and let's make sure we understand Omri's actions correctly as well. Zimri was in charge of half of the chariots. He was a man of war. In those days, the men of war and the police officers were the same people, right? Your soldiers did your policing in those days. It wasn't a separate police force from the soldiers. So he didn't like Baasha, so he killed him. That would have been considered regicide or murder. So when Omri is stirred up by the people, and we think by the Lord also, to go take care of business with Zimri, he's acting the part of a faithful civil authority. Even the king, although you kill your predecessor, put the crown on your head, you're still subject to law, as Rutherford taught us in Lex Rex. And so you don't get to say, you know, hey, it's good to be king, and now I'm untouchable. No, you're not untouchable. And that the Lord stirred Omri up is a good thing, so that everyone knows that there's a sheriff in town and the king is subject also. All right, but Omri, after he does the business of the nation, puts the crown on his own head and then continues on in the idolatry of Jeroboam. And so he's condemned for doing that. So, but the house of Omri begins a multi-generational dynasty And so we see a change in the way Israel is governed at this point, because the Lord will be pleased to grant a dynasty to Omri. And some scholars would say it was because Omri rose up and took care of business as a faithful civil magistrate. Some scholars would say that. Hard to be dogmatic on it, but it is a suggestion that has been raised over time. Okay, so the Lord used him, Zimri, that is. Zimri killed himself, which is always forbidden in Scripture. That is not to say that everyone that kills themselves, you know, their final act was an act, was a sinful act, and so they could not be a Christian. No, we don't say that. We're not so pietistic or superstitious in that way. It is not, it's not the final word on them. I remember sitting with a family that had suffered that in one of their family members, and I said, we're not going to remember this person based on his last act. We're going to remember him based on his faithful service. So we want to remember that. However, we do want to say that suicide is a sinful act. Our lives are not our own to give up. They belong to the Lord. We are bought with a price. Okay, so then notice that Zimri is brought down in 7 days. And yet, no one repents. Can you see it crashing by now? First of all, it's Baasha, short reign. Then it's Elah, his son, even shorter, 2 years. And then it's Zimri, 7 days. And no one repents. No one makes use of this awful providence that God has brought to bring people to fear. They have not repented. Let us not be so insensitive when the Lord brings such judgments upon us. But let us be like those disciples, right? When Jesus said to them, one of you will betray me. Is it I? Is there something that I have done here, Lord? All right, so after that then, Omri is made king. He acted as a lesser magistrate. And yet after that, after he did that good deed, he continued in the sins of Jeroboam. And then he had a son, Ahab. And Ahab went even farther than Omri did. He married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, who was no doubt a priest of Baal, and learned how to worship Baal from his wife, and then built a house of Baal and an altar to Baal and offered sacrifices. And this is the first time in Israelite history that they will worship a god of another name. Now, we already learned last week that they were already doing that, but they comforted themselves or counseled themselves in that we are worshiping Jehovah by means of these calves. They weren't really. But now they go even beyond that and they say, now we will worship Baal in the way that Baal prescribes, and we will turn our backs on Jehovah, right? And that's what happens in the days of Ahab. Finally, then, we see the lawlessness of the day and the bloodthirstiness of it in the rebuilding of Jericho. Remember that Jericho is in the northern kingdom also. And so in the rebuilding of Jericho, this king goes forth, Hiel the Bethelite. I'm sorry, he's not a king. He's a Bethelite. Bethel is in the north. And he laid the foundation of it in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub. In other words, knowing the prophecy of Joshua from Joshua 6:26, he will go forward because he desires that city, even if it costs him 2 sons. And so we have the callous and bloodthirsty nature of the day in that northern kingdom. And may I say that anywhere you have Baal worship, anywhere you have Molech worship, anywhere you have Chemosh worship, children are cheap because they end up being offered as offerings to those false gods. And I'll close by saying we still do that. We just have a more sanitary process for it in our society. With that then, let's stand and continue praising God.